The sermon tonight comes from John chapter 14. We'll start the reading once again at verse 15. John chapter 14, starting with verse 15. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. But let not your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up. Let us go from here. Pray with me. Our Father, help us now as we pursue you, as we run hard to see your face and understand what you have said to us, that you will be glorified as we think rightly about you. Help us now. Send your Spirit to expose the places in our hearts where we have allowed strongholds of Satan to remain. We ask that you would shine your bright light into our souls, and these fortresses of darkness would be shattered by your light. That you would search and find the areas of sickness and disease in our hearts where we have allowed sin to fester, and that you would take your word, which is a sharp sword, and you would do surgery on us. God, we expose our hearts to you now. We ask you to heal. We ask you to break up everything that shouldn't be there, all the calloused ground, all the disease, and ask you to cut it away and be glorified as we are healed. As we learn to love you rightly and to think rightly about you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this passage, God sets before you two different ideas. He talks about those who love him and know him, those who seek his face. And he's saying, these people abide with me. These people have a love for me and a relationship with me. And then he also talks about those who do not keep his commands, those who do not love him, those who do not have fellowship with him. And he even speaks of Satan at that point, calling him the prince of this world or the ruler of this world. And he says, this one over here has nothing in me. This ruler of this world has no relationship with me. But he started off by saying, those here who have relationship with me, that's demonstrated in their life. That love for me in their life is demonstrated. And so, there's not a relationship flowing from an obedience, first of all. But there's an obedience flowing from relationship. Those who love me, keep my commands. Those who know me, and to know Christ is actually to love him. You can't know him. You can't see his splendor. You can't see his glory. You can't see his majesty and think about it rightly without being moved in your heart when you're in relationship with him. You say, that is someone that I can follow. That is someone I can get behind. That is someone that I want to be close to. Many of us who grew up in different school systems, you know that there were people like that in school. Always something would happen, and there would be some table where you had the smartest person or the most beautiful person who would walk along, and everybody would look at them, and for some reason, that's who everybody would gravitate towards. And they would have the happy table, and they would have the giggly table. People just wanted to be around those sorts of people. Well, here we have a picture of something meaningful, something true. And when we think about Christ in his splendor and in his glory, we say, yeah, I want to be with him. I want to be close to him. I want to be around him. And what is it to be close to Christ? What is it to be around him? Well, he describes in his word that those who love me, they follow me. Those who love me, they're with me. They're with me as they walk with me. And the Christian life is described as a walk. It's described as a path, as a trail. And when we walk on that path, when we walk on that trail, as we've trusted in Christ, we know that we're with him. And it's a loving obedience. It's a joyful thing. It's not law that's oppressive and laid on us, again, like a filthy or a heavy wet blanket. But it's a light that shines. And we joyfully walk in the light and joyfully walk in the truth. So the call tonight is the same as the call that was this morning. And it's to give yourself to that loving obedience. To see Christ as he is and to walk with him as he is. Now our first step here is to cherish life in Christ. And for that we look at verse 19. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. And he says, because I live, you will live also. You see, life and the life that Christ talks about is that abundant life that he's talked about in other places. It's not a mere survival, but it's a walking with a perseverance. It's a walking with a strength, and I would even say walking with a confident intensity. That because he lives, this one who is powerful, this one who is mighty, the one who has stooped down and listened to our cry, the one who has embraced us and loved us, the one who lives, really lives and shines, he says, because I live, because I really live, because I really shine, you too will really live. You too will really shine. As he lives and breathes and has his being, we live and breathe and have our being in Christ Jesus. So does that mean we walk around and we slink around in shadow and in darkness? We walk around like a people defeated and whipped. We walk around like some lowly dogs. Or does that mean that we stand upright and we shine? that the shackles of sin and death that had held us fast and would drag us to hell still hold us fast. No, it means that we have broken free of that in Christ Jesus. We've been rescued. We've been delivered. We have been saved. And that as Christ lives, he says, because I live, you will live also. The following verse, John 14:20, he said, in that day you will know that I am in my Father. Saying that this man that they saw before him, they would know that he wasn't just a man. He wasn't just someone that they would sit at dinner with. Not someone that they would just walk down the road with and hear. He said, you will know that I, that you have seen, the one who you beheld his glory, that you heard with your ears, the one that you have touched, he is in the Father. The one who is over all. You will understand that I am in the Father. All power. All majesty, all strength, the full glory of God existed in Christ Jesus. And then he takes it a step further. It's something that if we are thinking rightly, our minds, your mind would almost short circuit. And he says, and you are in me. That's life. That is real life. That is what has been given to every believer. True life in Christ Jesus. And when that reality is impressed upon us, when we love God's Word and we meditate on God's Word, meditating on that truth, what is going to erupt from us? What is going to flow from us? Is it going to be sin? God forbid. But it would be a loving obedience, saying, I am in Christ as Christ is in the Father. In Him resides all power, all authority, all majesty, all perfection. And I am in Him as Christ lives in glory, so I live. And from that place flows that loving obedience. We say, and sin is offered to us. And we say, yes, thank you very much. Or do we say, how could I do that thing and sin against my God? How could that be imposed upon me? When I am in glory and in light and in truth, in that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me. And then he says, and I in you. God abiding in you. Majesty, all majesty, glory, abiding in you. Can you imagine anything more beautiful? Anything more perfect and inspiring and empowering than this reality? This brings us to our next move, which is simply love Christ. And I bring that to you as a command. Love Christ. Chapter 14, verse 21. And he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. The idea of God disclosing himself to you or revealing himself to you. This is the greatest condensation that we can imagine. The greatest stooping down, the greatest humbling that can be imagined. That God, the King of Glory, would come down and say, here I am to you. And yet he does. And from that place, a love is developed in us. An affection is developed in us. Now, many people have said, and they have said so rightly, that love is actually a verb. Love is something that you do. It's not simply a feeling in us. Culture has that all wrong. That's how people can say to their spouses, well, I used to love you, but I have fallen out of love with you now. Saying that I don't love you anymore and acting as if this is a situation that's been placed on them. And well, then they have no option then. Since I don't love you, I have to divorce you. I can't be with you anymore. This feeling is gone. But God speaks of love very differently. Love is a verb. Love is an action. That is, love is something that you are choosing to do. Love is a commitment that you are choosing to make. And it's described in Scripture. In 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, it says, love is patient. Now, what will that look like if you're loving Christ? What does a patient love look like if you're loving Christ? Well, it's a long-suffering love, many times. It's being in circumstances that are difficult, circumstances that are hard, but you say, in these circumstances, I still am committed to you and committed to following you. Love is kind and love is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. What does that look like in a relationship with Christ? Not being arrogant. Well, that would be not setting our will above His. And there will be times in your life where you don't feel like following God at all. You won't want to listen at all. But you know that in those times, to love Christ is going to be to simply say, okay, this is what I want to do, and this seems right to me, but what you have said is this. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to do what you say. I am not going to seek my own will, but I'm going to follow you and obey you because I love you. I have every expectation that you know better than I do. Love does not act unbecomingly. What does that look like in a relationship with Christ? Other than loving Him, following Him, and giving Him all glory. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. We would look at our lives and see the circumstances of our lives don't look like what we would want them to look like. They don't look like what we dreamed of. Our expectations of what our life would look like. And we don't take that and say, you didn't give me what I wanted. We're not angry with Him about those circumstances, but we love Him and we accept the circumstances that He has placed us in. That's what it looks like to love Christ. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Isn't it amazing that Christ demonstrated all of that for us perfectly? And He calls on us to love Him. First commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all of your strength. And we see here what that love would look like. And it's exactly what He's demonstrated for us. He's done it. He's done it perfectly for us. And He says, love me. Love me the way that I've shown you to love. And that move is to love Christ. Now our next move is to enjoy the Father's love. John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. To be loved by the Father. And that's the thing, isn't it? That's the thing. You know, everybody's running after something. Everybody wants something. People have set up different goals in their lives and different challenges in their lives. Things that they thought they could accomplish and things that they thought they could overcome. Or thought if they overcame them, and there they would be happy. I once read of a story of a woman who became a CEO of some company. And it was her dream. It was her goal to get there. And she was called to speak to her old high school. And she spoke to her high school, and afterwards they had a question and answer time. And someone asked her, what do you wish someone had told you when you were where we are? And she thought for a moment, and her answer was, I wish that someone had told me that when you got to the top of the ladder, there was nothing there. You know, and that just put this imagery in my head of this woman, and there was this ladder that extended into the sky and into the clouds and disappeared into the clouds. And she looked at this and she committed her life to climbing this ladder. And she climbed and climbed and she climbed through all the seasons and through wind and snow and ice. And she climbed and she left people behind her. And she isolated herself and isolated family members and climbed, thinking that when she reached the top of the ladder, there she would have the love and acceptance. There she would be complete and full. And eventually she goes through a cloud and she comes to the top and the ladder sticks out of the cloud and she looks around. Sees nothing. And she's completely alone. And I just imagine the sound of the wind hollow and whistling past her there. All these other things. All of these other things that we chase and imagine will fulfill us are actually fulfilled in the love of the Father. When we realize that there is nothing that we could accomplish, there's no way that we could achieve a relationship with God, but we come to the place and we say, yes, I am weak. I have been a sinner. I've committed crimes against you. And I have nothing to offer. That's the coming as a child, as Christ talked about it. Coming with nothing to offer and asking, please receive me in Christ Jesus. And there you're received. There you're embraced. There you have the real thing. God disclosing himself to you. Now this brings us to our next move. As we think of loving obedience, this is treasure Christ's presence. We look at verses 21 through 23. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him and will come to him and make our abode with him. And this is one of the shining moments of the disciples here. This is one of those times where, and I'm speaking facetiously here, this is one of the times where they simply didn't get it. And so Jesus is giving this great sermon and this great talk saying, he who loves me will keep my commandments. And he gives this other little nuance saying, and the world won't see me, but you will. And he's going, Jesus is continuing to preach. And I just imagine Judas here raising his hand going, so what happened? And Jesus looks at him, and I wonder, did Jesus just look at him and just look at everybody else and keep going on, or did he just center his gaze on Judas here and like, come back, get back here with me, Judas. You know, Jesus just starts speaking again and says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, you will keep my commandments. And I just imagine just looking at him and turning his head like, but wait, what? Well, what happened? You know, he's just not with them. He's not getting it. And Jesus just stays on course. He's saying, the thing here is, the thing that you need to hear, the thing that you need to understand, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then he goes on to say, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and will come to him. And we will come to him, he says, and make our abode with him. And again, we have the healing from the fall. In the Garden of Eden, where man had relationship with God, they broke that relationship and were cast out. There was this division then between God and man. This isolation. And God's saying, and Jesus here, God is saying, and I'm healing that. I'm healing that. And when you love me, there's that foundation that he places us. When you love me and you walk with me, we are with you. We make our dwelling with you. That presence of God in your life. And this takes place in different degrees and in different settings. You know, first and foremost, we understand that he lives in us. As individuals, he is there. There is never a time when you are alone. Though we may think that we are, though we may wish we are at different times, that we could escape and run away and do our own little thing and he wouldn't see us, he's there. He's there. The reality is that he's there. And we also have the idea of his ongoing presence with us and over us. And there's also the beauty of his special presence that he blesses us with in the assembly. Where he says in Matthew 18:20, where two or more are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. That here in the assembly, he meets with us as his family. He calls you the court of God. He calls you the household of God. And he inhabits our praise and meets with us in that way. It brings us back to Hosea 2:23. This verse is, I'm growing an affection for this verse. I will sow her for myself in the land. I will also have compassion on her who had not obtained compassion. And I will say to those who are not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. And that whole idea of them being a unit, a people who were not my people. I will say, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. We have this relationship together as family. And this is really highlighted, and it's to the point where it's to the extreme point that this is such a highlight in the Christian life and the highlight in the scripture that God wraps up the whole Gospel of Matthew with it. And he wraps up the Great Commission with it. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or to keep all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so we went from a place where we were not his people, that we were a part of the kingdom of Satan. And God has said to you, now you are my people. You are with me. I am with you. I am in you. You are mine. And we say, you are ours. And he says, now walk with me. Walk with me. Walk these pathways of life. Walk these pathways of truth. And as you walk these pathways, I am with you and we are in this relationship. You shine and we shine together. Is there anything sweeter for you? Could there be anything sweeter? Could you take any of the Ten Commandments and break any one of them and say, ah, this is better? No. No. But that's death. But what's been given to you and placed before you is life. And this is why Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So give yourself to this. Give yourself to love. Love for Christ. Give yourself to life. Give yourself to loving obedience. And this is the place for you to choose your application now. I can beat it into your heads and I can just keep saying, I could just keep saying for an hour, give yourself to loving obedience in Christ. Give yourself to loving obedience in Christ. And I could say it so many times that next week, just maybe I could ask you, what was the sermon about? And you might be able to say, give yourself to loving obedience in Christ. But then, if we ask one another, so what will change? What will change this week? What do you have to take off now? What do you have to put on now? This is your application. This is the demonstration of your love for Christ. That you wouldn't merely be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. I call upon you to meditate on the words you've heard. To choose an application and apply it the way that you will indeed walk in a new loving obedience for Christ. Pray with me. God, our God, we thank you for your word, for this great truth that you have brought to us. Spur us on in love and good deeds, that you will be glorified as we take off the old man. And we put on a new obedience in Christ, that you would be glorified as we display your power for a lost world. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our last psalm this evening.